Praise God for that. Hello, everyone. I think we've sort of said hello, but good to see you all. And just to come before the Lord today. So, I would like us to please just to turn to John 11, starting at round about verse 6. Now there was a certain man was sick. So I'm starting in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. A strange thing to do. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and are you going there again? I'm going to skip from there, then I'm going to go to... The things he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Verse 12. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Strange thing to say. Verse 17. So when
Jesus... It's John OT. It was about Mr. Wise. Do you know about the discharge?
Okay, thank you.
So
when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. I'm going to go now down to... Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So this is the story of a friend of Jesus, or friends, Lazarus, Martha, Mary, brothers and sisters, who had walked with Jesus for quite a long time and had heard his teaching and had believed in their hearts that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And whatever, why Lazarus died, we don't know, but he became sick and he died. And this is the story, really, of this event unfolding. So Jesus had heard that his good friend was sick. And instead of going to Lazarus straight away, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he explained to his very puzzled disciples that the sickness was for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then after Lazarus died, Jesus began a journey to Bethany, Lazarus's home. Significantly, when Jesus informed his disciples that Lazarus was dead, he simply said that his friend was asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. Outside Bethany, Lazarus' sister Martha, he went out to meet Jesus, and she said, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. Such was her faith in Jesus' power to heal. But Jesus replied by assuring Martha that her brother would rise again. And Martha responded in faith, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And at that point, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he follows it with a call to faith. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So the grieving Martha wished that Jesus had arrived earlier so he could have healed her brother. And when Jesus spoke of the resurrection, Martha assumed that he was speaking of the resurrection at the last day. In both statements, Martha reveals that she considered time an insurmountable problem, or this obstacle. And in effect, she was saying, it's too late now. It's too late to help him. You've come too late. So now we have to wait until that last day for him to rise. But Jesus explained to her, not only by words, but by deed, that time is not an obstacle to him. Outside of the tomb, Jesus called to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out. It is one thing to claim to be the resurrection and the life, and it is another thing to prove that you are the resurrection and the life. And of course, we remember that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. So Jesus was claiming to be the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Christ, and there is no eternal life apart from Christ. And beyond that, Jesus was also making a statement concerning his divine nature. He does more than give life. He is life. Jesus' statement that he is the resurrection and the life and provides a perspective on several spiritual matters. Martha believed that the resurrection was an event. Jesus showed her that the resurrection is a person. Martha's knowledge of eternal life was an abstract idea. Jesus proved to her that the knowledge of eternal life is a personal relationship. And Martha thought that victory over death was a future expectation. Jesus corrects her, that showing that victory is a present reality, or it should be. After presenting himself as the resurrection and the life, Jesus asked Martha a very important question. Do you believe this? May Martha's answer be ours. She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You know, it is one thing to have a mental assent to the resurrection and the life, and to always think it's ahead. Of course it is, if we're thinking of when the dead will rise again in Christ. There is an event that will happen in the future. But I believe that Jesus wants us to live in the reality of who he is right now in this life, that we see him in the circumstances of our lives, in our day-to-day, the day-to-day blows that we all experience as we walk through this life, you know, the difficulties, the obstacles. He is the resurrection and the life. Years ago, many years ago, when our youngest daughter, we became pregnant with our youngest daughter, Joanna, who's now an adult and married and in her early 30s. At that time, we were thinking we would just have two children and that would be great, you know. But anyway, God had other ideas. And so I became pregnant with our third child. And in the very first trimester of that pregnancy, I caught rubella. And I knew this was bad news. I knew this was very serious. I went to the doctor and he said, he suggested that I should have a termination, is what he called it. I should have a termination. But we were believers and there was no way that we would ever consider ending a life that God had given. That's not within our authority, or we have no right, in our opinion, to do such a thing. And so we continued with the pregnancy, much to the doctor's annoyance, I have to say, but we did. Continued it with the pregnancy, and in the shalom of God, it was quite extraordinary that God kept us in perfect peace. We thought, Lord, if this baby is to be what the doctor said she could be, blind and deaf and mentally retarded, or all of them together, then you will give us the grace. And so we had to really look to Jesus. He is the author, the finisher of our faith. In him is life. He is life. He is life in all its fullness, in all its way. Who are we to say that any child not born, as we saw with Bart, extraordinary, any child not born as we would consider perfect is not God's perfection in the destiny he has called them to. Who are we to say that? Every life is precious in God's sight. And we acknowledge that and we give thanks and praise to God. But what I want to say is during the process of giving birth, there was like a tape going around my mind and it was one sentence. And it was on constant circuit, going round and round. And all I heard was, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Through the entire birth process, that is what was going on in my head. I am. And I knew that God is able to raise up that which was dead, that which was maybe affected in some way and would not work properly, he was able to raise it up. And as it happened, by God's amazing grace, he healed her in the womb, because as a blood test revealed later that she had in fact had rubella. She had had it. She had the antibodies in her bloodstream. She had had it, but God raised her up with nothing wrong with her. She, you know, she's this young woman, and, you know, going forward in her life, and praise God that we did not think that we should take away something that God had given. Every life is precious. But I just want to say, you know, that that was one circumstance in our lives. God has many circumstances in our lives, don't we, where we live something and it's hard going. Even though God kept us in peace, we had to remain in that peace. We chose to live in that peace. We said, God, we believe you. Even though there were days that were hard, we still, God kept us in that perfect peace where he overshadowed us. And so I believe God's desire is that he overshadows us in whatever circumstance we may be going through. He is a resurrection, bringing to life that those things where we cannot see where there's going to be a breakthrough. We cannot see it. It appears to be shut, like the tomb was. Appears to be shut. No way can we see how God is going to work through this. But he says, not only is he the resurrection, he is the life. And he calls us to live life abundantly. We choose that. That's a choice. Not to say that there's not difficulties. There's always difficulties. Difficulties for the day. But we choose how we respond to the difficulties or the circumstances. It's our choice. And we can either succumb, I guess, succumb, or we keep our eyes fixed on he who is the resurrection and the life. He will come through. He will come through. He always comes through. He never leaves us disappointed if we are looking in faith to who he is. There's a wonderful song that I happened to come across that we all listen to now, and then I'll come back just now after that.
There's a sling in my voice, in a stone in my praise, pushing back when the darkest weapons form. And there's a power on my lips, even death can defy, when the name of our God is lifted high. 'Cause there is resurrection power, and we sing the name of Jesus. Resurrection power, raise a mighty sound. So come and let the praise get loud. Make that empty grave resound. 'Cause there is resurrection power in his name. And there are days I have seen, filled with heartache and loss, that have buried my heart beneath the grave. But every time his praise breaks out, there's things rise up from the crowd. I won't leave my storm inside that empty grave. There is resurrection power when we sing the name of Jesus. Resurrection power when we raise a mighty sound. So come on and pray. Let go of those chains when we pray. Dead men, come out of that grave. Come out of that grave when we sing. Captives, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains when we praise. Dead men, come out. Hey!
sleeping dream tonight. Dead men, come out of that. Come out of that grave when we say, God, let go of those chains when we pray.
Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, and all the grave clothes were removed from him. So I believe there are two questions that God wants to ask us today. Are you living a resurrected life? Are there things you left behind in that grave that Jesus wants to resurrect? That's number one. Number two, are there old grave clothes that keep you bound, that Jesus wants to free you from? Some of us might think that it's too late for us, that our time of experiencing new resurrected life has gone. Maybe we think we've missed the boat. Maybe we think there's opportunities that have come our way and we missed them. We didn't take them at the time and we let them go. Perhaps many years ago, Jesus gave us dreams of how he would use the gifts he has given us. But now these dreams seem to have died and been buried under some years of disappointment as the things of life have taken their toll. Our dreams are buried in a cave, so to speak. Or are you still walking, still bound in those grave clothes? You're still carrying around painful memories, loss, hurts from the past. They're the grave clothes that bind us. Whenever we try to move forward, we fall back into memories. We go over the old things. We repeat the old things, and we are kept bound. I do think, and I do believe, that Jesus is calling you, like Lazarus, to come out of the grave and leave the old things behind, far behind you. He wants you to take off the grave clothes. And again, with the whole Christian life, we choose the way we want to go. And when we make the choice, we've got to speak the words of life. If Jesus had not said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out," Lazarus would never have come out. He would still be in that cave. His bones would still be there. So we have to speak to our circumstances, speak to those grave clothes, say we will not allow you to keep us bound. We will not always be filled with memories or old hurts. So we have to say they're under the blood. They're under the blood. Jesus has dealt with them. And now let's move forward. And when the enemy wants to put them in our heads again, we have to say, "No, I refuse this. I won't have this. I speak that Jesus has set me free. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, has taken me forward, and those things are behind me. They're not my present reality." So day by day, we make these choices. And of course, living a resurrected life doesn't mean to say we live a perfect life. Far from it. We are who we are. You know, we sometimes fall down, but then we just get up and we carry on keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. But the one thing about God and about Jesus, that he never leaves us in a place of disappointment if we want to move forward in him. If we want to move forward in him, he will not leave us in a place, in that cave of death and decay and disappointment. He will take us on. And very often it requires a perseverance and a determination to put one step in front of the other. I was so blessed by Bart's testimony, the immense difficulties that he faces every day. But he has made a choice. He has made a decision that he's not going to let those things keep him back. And we have to make a choice and make a decision to walk in the reality of who Jesus is, even when for the time we don't see any difference. That's when it's hardest. That's when it's the most difficult to keep going, when we cannot see or hear or experience a change. But we know that Jesus is always working. Look back in your life and see where you were some years ago. Just look back and you'll see that God is changing all of us. It's always a mystery to me. I think, how do you do it, Lord? Here am I just walking my life, doing whatever comes to me to do. And all the time you're changing my mindset. You're changing the way I decide to do things or not do things. You're changing my choices. When I'm looking to you, when I'm fixing my heart on you, you are changing my outlook, my mindset, my choices. You're changing my life. And if we move with God, if we yield to God, he who is the resurrection and the life, we will find that as time goes on, as it goes on, we're looking behind at the old grave clothes. They're no longer binding us up. We are looking to the present and to the future of a resurrected life, because he who is in us is the resurrection and the life. So we praise God. Thank God. And if anybody wants to respond to this, if anybody, all of us, either pray with someone who's next to you, if that's what you want to do, or we can pray afterwards, that we want, Lord, to live that life of resurrection that's in Christ. We want to know you, not just to know about you, Lord. Not that I've heard that you're the resurrection and the life, which is great. But it has to be a present day experience, or it's just words on a page. And we don't want the Christian life to be just words on a page. If it's not our experience, then we are not living that full abundant life that Jesus has for us. I want to say that a full abundant life does not mean a life that's without difficulty. That's not going to happen. But in the midst of it all, we can have the shalom of God. In the midst of all, we can see him working and doing things and achieving what he wants to do. And it'll be different for all of us. But in that place, we know that God is with us. God is working out his purposes. And we are moving in abundant life. So, should we pray? Should we pray? Let's just pray together. I just feel that we're going to pray and respond in your heart to God. Respond to who he is. So, Father, here we are. We are your people, Lord. We are the ones who have chosen Jesus as Savior and Lord, as Deliverer, as Healer, as Life in Abundance. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, wherever we are still bound in our thinking, in our actions, in our words, in our mindset, I'm asking, Lord, that you undo those grave clothes. We do not want to be those, Lord, who walk hindered by the stuff that the enemy wants to bind us up with, whether it be coming from the flesh or the enemy or the things of the world that we just absorb, Lord. We say, no, this is not our way. And I'm asking for all of us here, even those who are not able to be here today, for all of us, Lord, that we live in the freedom of Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Would you show us individually what those grave clothes might be if we do not already know? Would you show us, Lord? Sometimes things hinder us and we're not even fully aware. We think it's normal. We think this is the normal life. Would you reveal to us, Lord, your normal life? What's normal to you, Lord? May we imbibe who you are, your truth in your word. Imbibe that as our normal life, that we live in abundance and freedom. So, Father, would you help us, Lord, today, all of us. We come to you, looking to you, Lord. There is nowhere else to go. You and you alone. Lord, we don't look to the world. We don't look to each other. We don't look anywhere else. Our eyes are fixed on you. You are preeminent in our hearts and lives. And we bow the knee. We choose, Lord, to bow the knee to who you are, to the abundance of the life that you have, grasping it, Lord, getting out of that cave of, Lord, of death and walking in the abundance of God. Help us that our speech aligns with who you are, your word, your way, your truth. And may our hearts be right there with you. So let's just for a few minutes, just for a little while, be quiet before God and just lift up ourselves to him and ask him to be our deliverer and to be our resurrection and life. So thank you, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you, each other to you, all of us in this fellowship of Oasis to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you, in your mighty grace and loving kindness, are constantly at work within us to bring your resurrected life to being in our hearts and lives. Thank you, Father. Amen.